Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
Today in Southern Cross, I'm talking to AUT Pacific Media Watch project reporter Rahul Bhattarai and another journalist from the Pacific Media Centre, Sri Krishnamurti. We talk about the centre's news stories and issues being covered. Today, our topics include the dilemmas faced by the UN soldiers on the battlefield, how Filipino President Duterte's government is allegedly killing indigenous Lumad community leaders, the Indonesian President Widodo's plea for tolerance, and the Nodu media ban on ABC. So to begin with, Rahul, I read that a former colonel who served in both the British and New Zealand armies spoke at AUT about his missions for the UN and the struggles of on-the-ground soldiers. Could you tell us a little bit more for the listeners?
All right, absolutely, Jemima. So basically, Colonel Richard Hall served from British Army for 25 years. Mm. During his service in British Army, he also worked at various different UN peacekeeping forces in different parts of the world. And after his retirement from the British Army, he moved to New Zealand, and then again he worked for New Zealand Army, and he was deployed to Afghanistan with 150 troops with him. Mm. Now, at AUT, he spoke about his time in the military and how difficult it is for the ground soldiers to work, especially when they are deployed by a UN peacekeeping force, not an offensive combat. Mm. So the two major problems that I picked from his seminar was the first, the dilemma faced by the UN force, which kind of led towards soldiers suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, the dilemma was, because United Nations peacekeeping force are there to maintain stability in the region and not as an offensive force. So a lot of people, the citizens, civilians in the host country, they think that the UN force are there to provide security for their personal security, which is inaccurate, which is absolutely not right. So what UN do there is just to make sure there is peace in the area with the government and the rebellion group.
And how do they do that?
So they negotiate along with the United Nations Security Council, the people involved, the countries, two factions, the government and the opposition, and in the UN Security Council, they do it. However, the reason the soldiers suffer from post-traumatic disorder is because when they're on the ground, even if they witness something like rape or murder, they are not allowed to intervene.
Oh, wow.
And when they come back home, what they think is they could have saved that person's life. Mm. Even if they were being raped or if they're being murdered, they could have saved it. But due to the UN mandate, they're not allowed to do so. The only the time they are allowed to fight is for their own self-defense.
Oh, really? So they can't be physically involved in any way?
Yeah, the only the time. There was two exceptions when UN was on the offense. The first one was in 1950 Korean War. Mm. The second was in the first Gulf War in 1990 when United Nations had to push away Saddam Hussein's military away from Kuwait back to Iraq. Mm. And after the Iraqi military was defeated, that's when they said, all right, our job here is done, and they started the peace process.
Do you have anything else to add to that story?
There is not much for that story for now today.
That's okay.
But also one important thing is that he also mentioned that it was when the United Nations was found, the Big Five, they sort of created this notion called veto. That was basically for them to retain their power in the United Nations. And because of the veto, they could not sort of come to any sort of conclusion, and there was always problems going on in there. And that is one of the reasons why the soldiers are suffering on the battlefield.
Oh, I see.
There's a lot more to it. And if you go to asiapacificreport.nz, you'll get the full report. And I just do not have time to get into that right now.
Fair enough. So can you tell us a little bit more about the situation in the Philippines? What is happening there and who are the Lumads?
All right. Now, the Lumads are the indigenous people of the Philippines. They live in the southern part of the island, a second island in Mindanao region. They are basically, what's happening is President Duterte, he rose to power as supporting the leftist group. Mm. Now, in the Mindanao region, there's a lot of minings like gold, silver, and various other things. And in order to get hold of their minings, they have to slaughter the forest, which is the livelihood of the Mindanao indigenous people, okay? Now, in order to do that, he has been killing people in the Lumut have been suffering. I think he has been killing them along with the other drug dealers and so forth. He have labeled the Lumut as a terrorist organization. However, the reports that I've seen does not reveal that they are a terrorist organization. Yeah. They are just teaching. They are just trying to defend their land. But because there's a mine involved, of course, there's a mining, the forest, they are suffering a lot. So lately, what the report says that tactics used to target Filipino drug suspects are now being deployed against leftist activists and alleged supporters of an outlawed communist movement. So although he came as a he rose to power to get the election from the leftist people, I think he sort of went against them. So yes, that is a concern there.
What exactly are the Lumads doing to be sort of considered terrorists, I suppose, by...
Oh, well, basically, I think that they have a little bit of a communism teachings going on in there. People are, in a democratic society, if you're a communist, we'll have to accept them. If you are whatever viewpoint or whatever you fall in this right-left spectrum, unless you are like a hate speaker, you should be allowed to live in the society and raise your voice, concern your expressions freely without any problems, with any sort of threat. So Lumads are basically, they're trying to protect, defend their indigenous people, defend their land. That's their motto, defend their land. Land is our life. So that's all they're doing. But in order to get into that minds, they're being faced by a government, Filipino military.
So Indonesian president, is it Widodo?
Widodo
has called for tolerance rather blatantly. And why has this left minorities at risk? Could you give us some details regarding this move from the president?
Yes, absolutely. Now, President, what he has done is he has taken a soft line against the religious minority and also LGBT community. However, he has also said on his statement, which... I don't have here in front of me, but he has said that he will deal with the issues as per Indonesia's constitution. Now, taking a soft line against the minority and saying that he's going to deal with the constitution is not a, it's a contradictory statement on its own, because the Indonesian constitution says that it does not have any place for LGBT rights, especially for LGBT community.
Oh, really?
So he seems like he's taking a soft approach, but I'm not too sure if that's really... that's really trying to support the minority. So that is why it looks like he's supporting them, but also as for people who do not know much about Indonesian constitution, they may not know what's going on.
Yeah, like his actions speaking louder than what he's saying. Yeah?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
So Sri, your article tells us about the restrictions on Nodo's imposed ban on one of the region's most independent and most professional media. Why and how will that affect the media in the region, and especially in New Zealand?
Well, it won't affect the media in New Zealand per se, but it will affect the media in the region because it has impacts on the freedom of the media. And that's really a grave concern for the Pacific region. Australia has a lot to answer for in this region. Australia gives now $226 million a year for looking after the detention centre. And that is majority of the money comes in from Australia to look after the detention centres, and it's a remittance that Nauru can ill afford to do without. And that's why I think it's going to be infecting on the Pacific so much more.
Do you have anything else to add about that?
Yes.
Go for it.
Yeah. New Zealand, it doesn't impact on New Zealand as much, but it does
more
impact.
More
Australia. And the ABC has been known for its fearless reporting in Australia. And they have in 2015, they had an investigation conducted into Baron Wanga, who was investigated for corrupt practices, a phosphate mining company by Geotex. Geotex gave them $60,000 per month, and that amounted to about $600,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's the reason why they're keeping quiet.
Thank you very much today, guys. It was great to speak to you again. Right now, you're listening to 95BFM. Here is You're Not Invited by Las Tetas.
That was the Southern Cross.